Davis is probably lying, and Greta Garbo is probably crying, while Robert Taylor is locked in her dying embrace. Chico and Groucho and Chaplin and Lloyd are all super. Sweet Mickey Mouse, Shirley Temple, and dear Jackie.
Let's go to the movies. Let's go see the stars. I'm joined in studio by Big Kev, Mr. Kevin Suarez, our resident movie reviewer. Kev, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Now, we're looking at a couple of films this week, and it's kind of an interesting bag. The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which is a psychological horror featuring the likes of Nicole Kidman and Colin Farrell, and the big DC blockbuster. They've been building up to this one for quite a while. I don't know if they've been building up for it for long enough, but certainly they've been building up for a while. Justice League. What are we starting with?
The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Now, I must say, this is a film I've heard nothing about until this morning, despite the fact, as I mentioned, there are a couple of fairly prominent names in the cast. Mm-hmm. This is a psychological horror film. Tell us a little bit about it.
So Colin Farrell plays a surgeon who many, many years ago accidentally cured a patient. He ends up befriending the patient's son, a 16-year-old, who is also a bit psychologically disturbed. He then decides to introduce the 16-year-old friend to the rest of his family and discovers that it's a terrible idea because now the 16-year-old is forcing the surgeon into an impossible choice. He has to kill one of his family members.
Okay, I'm not sure quite sure how he's going to manage that, but I'm sure there is, there's plenty of explanation within the film. Let's talk about the performances. Like I said, this has got a pretty good cast. What do we think of the actors?
To be honest, the only standout performance here was Colin Farrell. The rest of his family seem to be played by, I don't know, they seem to be playing robots or something, because many of the characterizations make no sense. They end up being very unlikable. For example, the daughter, when they find out about the 16-year-old's plan, says, "Oh no, you could just pick me. Don't worry, you'll have another daughter one day soon." And I'm watching it going, these people have no idea what humanity is about, what compassion is, and they're going, pick me, I should die and let the other people live. Like, it was handled so badly, and I couldn't really judge them on their acting because the characters were so off-putting.
Well, it is a psychological horror film. I know a few of those that I've watched. It tends to, we have to have some characters on the screen that are quite alien in their own way. Was it quite unsettling?
I do feel that the director tried to maybe make it a bit too psychological when it wasn't really that necessary. I think it would have made a good drama film, and there are good thrillers that didn't have to devolve into having characters who you don't really care about what happens to next because they're just so unlikable or you just can't really relate to them at all. And so, for example, Nicole Kidman's character, for instance, when she wants to make love to Colin Farrell's character, she just sort of lies there on the bed, not doing anything, just lies there. Like, the characters end up acting really off-putting, and I just couldn't really relate to them at all.
The Cold Fish School of Seduction. Okay, so maybe this one give it a little bit of a miss.
Yeah, the worst thing was that all of the characters, the main character's a surgeon, and yet the method of the whole conceit was that the three other family members were poisoned, and yet he never actually mentions perhaps we should try and find an antidote or actually trying to find a solution to get out of this impossible choice. He just goes, okay, let's just do this choice and that's it. And I thought, yeah, that's a bit unbelievable as well.
All right, let's move on to this this great big DC blockbuster I mentioned there, Justice League. I'm a big superhero fan, but I must say I'm much more of a Marvel guy. Wonder Woman was good. I thought it was good. I don't think it really got, I think it deserved maybe a little less hype than it got. It was certainly hyped up, but that might have been in comparison to DC's earlier attempts, which were pretty woeful. What did we think of this one?
So in short, the Justice League features five of humanity's greatest non-Avengers heroes teaming up to fight against Steppenwolf and prevent his evil plans of releasing a greatest hits album despite only having three hits. I'm kidding. That would have made a better film than what we got. It's just generic. It would have been a good superhero film if it was released about 15 years ago, but nowadays it's just against what Marvel is releasing, especially Thor Ragnarok, Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America, though these are all hits, but DC have yet to really find a voice of their own. Justice League is just a very generic version. It's like a very stripped-down version of the Avengers.
Okay, let's be fair to this film. What does it do well?
So it does well. Ezra Miller is he finally gets to shine as the Flash, and he usually does end up playing, like in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him, he usually ends up playing like the quiet sort of disturbed characters, but he also does end up in Justice League playing great heroes as well. So I'm definitely looking forward, even though I didn't really care for the other heroes, I'm definitely looking forward to his Flash movie next year. Other than that, at least it's better than the other Batman Superman films already released, which, let's face it, is already a low bar.
So it is a sort of a, it's better than some of the DC's previous offerings.
Yeah, they did add some comedy elements as well, which I do appreciate, because I do feel that superhero films, going back to comic books, which are all about hope, right, and all about happiness and bringing joy to people, kids, adults, whoever is reading them. And I feel that by getting rid of the comedy and this lighthearted feeling from the previous films did sort of detract from it, but the comedy's back. It's actually provided by Joss Whedon, and he's got a pretty good track record when it comes to fairly likable characters and comedic moments as well.
Okay, so it does some things well, but a little bit of a generic entry into the superhero genre. Just as a follow-up on, how does it sort of leave things off for the sequel? Because I really thought one of the big struggles that, say, Batman versus Superman had was it was setting too much up for the future, and it made the plot a little bit of a mess. In fact, I think the film could have done without basically the entire third half after the Batman versus Superman titular fight. So, leaving things off for sequels, did it struggle with that aspect of it, or was it a little bit more smooth?
Not really. As I said, the heroes themselves, especially the Flash, were interesting enough that I was, you know, kind of actually anticipating their respective movies. But, yeah, it does do the very straightforward, going back to what I said earlier, of just being like a basic stripped-back version of the Avengers, it does do the obvious, like, end-of-credits scene where it's setting up, you know, what's going to be happening in the next Justice League film.
All right, Kev, Big Kev, thank you very much.
You're welcome.